You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
What's up, Hard Drive Radio Radicals? Paulie here for Hard Drive DL, the Hard Drive Radio podcast. So delighted you've decided to join us for another kick-ass episode, because, man, we love doing these things, and we really appreciate you listening. If you want to show your appreciation, you can give us a thumbs up or some stars or let us know how we're doing. In fact, if you write us a nice review, I may actually just read it on the next podcast, because why not? We appreciate all the work that you guys put in listening to this, and we want to show our love back to you. So write something nice, and I'll shout you out on the next podcast. Or write something not nice and be a jerk like everyone else on the internet. I might still read it, if it's funny. Gotta be funny. Anyway, on this week's episode, I got on the phone with Josh Katz of Bad Flower. Got to talk to them about their new single, Ghost, and the album coming up and all the stuff that's been going on with them. So, check it out. Hope you enjoy it. Hey everyone, Paulie here from Hard Drive Radio, and joining me on the phone right now is Josh Katz of Bad Flower. Man, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
So, It seems like you guys are pretty much all wrapped up on this new album that's coming out. Is it finished, or do you still have more to do at this point?
Yes, the album is finished. It's actually been finished for a little while. It's just been a lot of prep work from here.
So what do you do to kind of like pass the time in that kind of space between when it's all finished and it's finally coming out and you're getting on the road? How are you occupying yourself?
Pure meditation.
Yeah.
All the time, and that's all. No, we do, we have a lot of hobbies. We jam a lot. I've been putting a lot of work into our van to, convert it into a tour bus, which has been awesome, because I enjoy woodworking and I enjoy being creative in other ways that aren't music, so that's been my hobby and passion for the past, I don't know, however many weeks.
What does that require? I mean, are you, putting in bunks in the back and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's five bunks in the back, and then we've just redone the living room as well. We call the living room, it's just the front area. It's like a Sprinter van. So there's we've partitioned it to the bunks in the back and then the living room area in the front.
So I feel like that's a huge advantage for young bands. You know, if you can kind of, if you're handy and you can build things, then you've got a leg up instead of other people who got to kind of go out and buy this stuff.
I mean, it's so true, not just for touring, but for music videos, for anything creative that isn't just the music part of it. If you are handy, I mean, that's what I grew up doing before we had record labels or anybody else helping us out. It was everything we wanted, we had to either find on our own or make ourselves, whatever it was. And so the whole group never stopped. We never gave up that mentality. So we've just been kind of making things ourselves this whole time. We don't want your money. We'll build our own bus. that's how we talk around here.
That sounds awesome. I mean, that's a good way to do it, too. I mean, it's hard to make a living in music, especially these days when money seems tighter than ever. So if you can build it yourself, I mean, that's fantastic.
It's also just so fun. It's a hobby that we love to do. So I think it's less about saving money and more about staying occupied and sharp mentally. While, there's a lot of lulls in this for a lot of bands. I mean, it's like a lot of bands will finish a record and then sit and play video games for 3 months until they have to go on tour. And we're just not really that group. We would go crazy.
That's good. let's kind of jump back a few months and get into the writing process for the album. How long have you been writing, and where did you go to record it?
We finished up the tour last year, at the end of June, and immediately off that tour, we started writing for the record. And we wrote it all up in the desert house where we live, and then we recorded it. Half of it was done at a studio called Ocean Studios in Burbank, and the other half was done at our producer's studio in downtown LA. And then a little bit of it was also done out here in the desert house where we live. There was pickup vocal stuff and production things. I would send files back and forth to the producer, and we would go back and forth while he was in downtown and I was in the desert.
Which producer did you work with?
Noah Shane. The lovely Noah Shane. He's amazing.
How'd you meet him?
We've just been fans of his for a while. He worked on a couple records that we loved. One in particular, he did the first two Dead Sarah records, and we just fell in love with that band, and we fell in love with the production, and so we hit him up, and he wanted to make the record with us, so we did it.
You know, I'm so glad you're talking about, you know, doing all these things yourselves, because I just remembered that pretty much the Temper EP that you guys put out, you pretty much did all of that on your own too, right?
Yeah, completely on our own.
So, like, tell me a little bit about, you know, just building your own studio and just getting at it.
Again, it was another one of those things that we did out of necessity at the time, just like, building the van and having things that we want that, if we can't afford, we have to build ourselves. We couldn't afford to go record in a big studio with a big producer. We didn't have budgets and things. So it was like, cool, I have a MacBook Pro. Let's go from there. What do I need? Google. I also went to music engineering school for like a week and a half and dropped out.
That's all it takes. You just need a week.
But it was a super productive week and a half. It was a great week and a half.
Were there any lessons that you learned during the recording of that EP that you were able to carry over into the recording of your full length?
That I was able to carry over.
Yeah.
I think the main lesson was don't do it yourself. Don't do it all yourself. Well, I mean, with the EP, it was different. I think it was 5 tracks on Temper, and this is like a proper 12-song album. And it just would have been too much. I put enough like stress and pressure on myself as it is, like as the writer and as the performer and as all these other things. Like I didn't need to be the producer too.
Yeah, that's a big responsibility. It's good to get a little help when you need it.
That said, though, I still like the next record is going to come around, and we're going to have to make a decision. That, like I might want to go back to that. Like I might want to do it the DIY way again, just because I don't know. There's magic in doing things yourself, and then there's also magic in bringing other people on board who, you know, aren't a part of your circle to offer something new. So I'm so glad that we did the record with Noah, because he brought something that we never, like, there's no way the record would have been what it is now had it not been for Noah, and I'm so pleased with it.
So you say there's 12 songs on this album. How many did you write, and then, you know, how do you go through the process of kind of narrowing all that down to the core set?
Oh, man, we must have written... I mean, it wasn't like full songs completed. It was probably like 50 half songs, like 50, just a verse and a chorus, maybe a bridge idea. And we would do all the demos at our house in the desert. So we'd like every song was pretty much done to our vision. And then we sent that along to the team, and everybody sort of got together and picked what we liked the most. And we narrowed it down to 12. It was actually supposed to be a 10 song album too. We just kind of, we fought for 12.
That's good. I'm glad you fought. You know, I know like 10 is like the kind of number that goes for, but I always like to see an album that's a little meatier than just 10 tracks. So I'm happy to hear that. It's good that you fought.
Yeah.
For it.
I think the 10 track thing is kind of a trend.
Yeah.
It's the less is more concept that a lot of labels are trying to push on bands. You know, they want EPs out, they want singles, they want short albums, but we just had a lot of content we really wanted to get out. And for the whole album to be cohesive, like we wanted it to be, it just had to be 12 tracks.
Actually, let's go into that little bit of a trend for a second, because, you know, with streaming being the big influence that it is these days, you know, you look maybe 10 years ago and people are still, you know, writing out albums. And these days it seems like people are putting out a lot more just singles and EPs, trying to keep on top of that pile of new music coming out because there's so much of it. Did you guys, you know, purposely sit out, you wanted to put out an album, or was that just something that was like, oh, well, this is what you do?
Yeah, no, we wanted to put out an album. I think had we wanted to put out an EP, we probably would have been allowed to do that as well. I'm not really crazy precious about it. The other members of my band are like, they're really super album people. They love to listen to albums all the way through. I kind of grew up as a single guy, not single, like without a partner, but I like singles. Like I like songs and specific songs, and I've just never cared that much. But I don't know. Once we actually got into this album, it was a lot of fun making one cohesive unit of 12 songs rather than just writing cool singles. Because there's a theme that runs through it, and it's clear. Maybe it's that I'm really listening for it in a lot of other bands when I hear albums, and I don't really hear that cohesive theme. It just sounds like, you know, if you're listening to like a Pink Floyd album or something like that, it's clear that there are themes running through. There's music themes, and they're fantastic bodies of work. It's like watching a movie. But you don't get that as often as, I don't know. I don't get that as often as I'd like. And so I just usually pick a song I want to hear. And I'm totally fine with the streaming trend. It doesn't bother me one bit. But for people who are going to buy our album, I think it's worth listening to all the way through 20 times.
There you go.
Maybe 30, 50.
All the time. Don't listen to any other music.
No, ever. Ever again. I mean, this is enough content to get you through the rest of your life, I promise.
I mean, if anything, if the rest of the album is as fucking heavy as Ghost is, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's going to be a great album, but man, like, I listened to Ghost a bunch of times because they sent me the advance, and like, that's an emotionally difficult track to listen to. Did you write it that way on purpose?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, it's by design. It was emotionally difficult to write. And it's all, you know, it's all fan. It's not I've actually never tried those things. I've never tried to kill myself.
Thank goodness.
I think about it. And a lot of people think about it. And I just had this vision that I really wanted to write a song that wasn't about, like, oh, woe is me. My life is so terrible. And here's what, it wasn't just a sad song. I just kind of wanted to dive into the details of what that would feel like. Like the actual feeling and the thoughts you might have in your final moments right before you die, and just get as detailed as possible with it. And I actually really, it was therapeutic. I really enjoyed writing the song, and I also never imagined it would be a single. I never expected to talk to somebody like you about it and multiple people that I'm going to be talking to. I just thought it was going to be like a hidden track that, you know, some people were going to discover and love. But so now I have to explain myself to people. Now I have to deal with people like, this is trigger warning and, you know, all that stuff.
You know,
like, man,
when I listen to the track, you know, I'm listening to it a couple times, and, you know, when I'm planning to have this interview with you, I'm thinking to myself, like, do I ask him, like, hey, man, is everything okay? Are you good? I just want to check, you know?
You probably should. No, I have a severe case of panic disorder, and I'm miserable most of the time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I'm fine right now. I'm good.
Good, good. Well, you know, hugs are free. The video.
I've got a pot of coffee waiting for me. I'm solid.
Good, good. Yeah, the video is fantastic, by the way. Tell us a little bit about putting that together.
Oh, thank you. We talked about making the video. The very first thing that we all discussed was there was no way that we were going to make a video that was like a direct correlation with lyrics. It would have been too morbid even for us.
Mm.
I mean, nobody wanted to watch that. I wouldn't want to act that or perform that. So we just kind of came up with this story. I don't know. It was just through sort of all of us sitting together as a group and talking about ideas for the video, and we came up with the story. And just the concept of a guy who lost his fiance and is then designing and building the wedding he never got to have with a mannequin that he made to look as similar as his fiance, like, made us weep.
Yeah.
We got teary-eyed, like, just talking about it, and so we knew that was the video we wanted to make. And then obviously tying in the suicide stuff. A lot of people have interpreted the video in different ways, which is really interesting because it wasn't designed to be that. It was a very specific story to us, but it's kind of been, it's cool hearing all the reactions from different people, like, oh, it's clear that he's, like, your character is in purgatory and this and that. And we're like, no, that's not at all the story, but really cool that you felt something and you, like, cared enough to share that.
I mean, that's...
We're proud of it.
Yeah, that's the symbol of great art, that, you know, it makes people talk about it and invest in it. So I think you guys...
Yeah,
really,
if it raises discussion, it's great. I have a pet peeve about artists who make vague art.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when artists make something and then somebody interviews them and they're like, what did you mean by this? What does this lyric mean? And they say, well, that's just open to interpretation. Well, then you're fucking lazy. That's not art. That's laziness. Or that's pandering. You know, it's like you're just trying to please everybody so that you can be Mr. Popular. And I don't like that.
Yeah, it should say
but
something,
if
right?
It happens organically, you know, if people take things, you know, if they apply the lyrics to their own life that doesn't apply to my life when I was writing the song, that's great. That's an amazing thing to happen, but it has to happen organically, in my opinion, for it to be genuine. For it to be worth writing or worth creating.
I would agree. Tell me what it's like to kind of have the support of your label, especially a guy like John Varvatos behind you guys kind of supporting what you're doing. What does that mean to you?
It's so good. I mean, this is our third record label. We've been on three now, and we've only released one EP that was self-produced for no money. So you can imagine, like, for years we've just been sort of thrown around the system and thinking that things were going to be great, and then, you know, things change and we don't get to release this. And we've, like, the amount of EPs that we've made and have been released directly into the garbage is astounding.
Wow.
So to have this team who fully supports us is incredible. I mean, I feel like we actually feel like a priority at our record label, which is a feeling that we've never had before. It's always been clawing our way to the top and trying to like get noticed.
Talk a little bit about your fans, because it seems like online, at least from what I can see, you have a very passionate core of fans. Do you get a lot of great reaction? Or when you go play a show, do you have a lot of people who already know who you are, or are you winning over a lot of new people?
Yeah, surprisingly, we do. I mean, not a lot of people, but pretty small scale now. I mean, this single's hitting the radio and doing what it's doing, so hopefully that'll boost everything as well. That's the plan. But yeah, it sort of happened really organically, and we didn't expect it. We put out Temper, and then we did all of these. Like, we were supporting Pop Evil for a while, and then we did all the festivals, but we had never done a headlining show, like not a proper one anywhere outside of LA, our hometown. And then we started seeing them on our schedule. Like, there was all these headline shows booked, and we're like, this isn't cool. We don't want to go and play an hour set for nobody. There's nobody going to show up. And then people did show up, and they were singing all the words, and they were wearing the T-shirts, and they're like, oh, this is so cool. And then, you know, the snarkier you get on social media, the more people, like, gravitate towards you. I don't know why it works that way, but be an asshole on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely.
And people will love you for no reason at all. There's no cosmic algorithm that can explain that one.
I think it just appeals to our more animalistic nature to be competitive and jerky.
Yeah, maybe so, but it's only on Twitter for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be an asshole on Facebook. Maybe it's because older people are on Facebook and the younger people are on Twitter. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, probably. I feel like most of the hip kids are on Instagram these days.
Yeah. Instagram is like a little in-between. You can be an asshole sometimes, but for the most part.
You know, just post pictures of your dog or whatever. Everyone loves that.
Yeah. That's what I do.
I know. I saw, what was it? It was like a series of photos, and it was just like zooming in on your dog's eye. No. I don't know why. I was like, it was freaking hilarious to me, but maybe it's just me. I don't know, but I loved it.
She's the best. She's hanging out with me right now. She's like staring at me as I talk to you on the phone.
Aw, what's your puppy's name?
Maggie.
Maggie. Hi, Maggie.
She's the best. I got a name tattooed on me because I love her.
That's fantastic. Is she coming out on the road with you guys?
She did once, but it was a pain in the ass. Well, we brought her, and we brought our tour manager's dog as well. So we had her and a pit bull in the little van, and it was just way too much. So I don't think we'll do that again.
Yeah.
And we can't take one without the other because it's just like favoritism.
Got it. Yeah, that's a shame. I mean, it's good to have, you know, a nice happy face on the road all the time, but I guess logistically it's not always possible.
Well, but the thing was, she wasn't a happy face because she couldn't handle like the small spaces and the long drive.
Oh.
So she was kind of more miserable than the rest of us, and we had to tend to her.
Yeah, maybe it'll be different when you guys get a nice full-size tour bus, or build a nice full-size tour bus.
Yeah, that's if we do, like, you know, some massive band wants to take us out and pay us a whole bunch of money, we'll do the bus and bring our dogs. It'll be great.
Shit, yeah. You ever get any weird gifts from fans?
Yeah, food.
Food, yeah.
we don't eat food from people. Like, no, packaged food is fine. Like, bags of chips and shit is fine.
Right.
But we get, like...
You get home-cooked
people
meals?
People who cook stuff, yeah. And I just don't... I don't fuck with that.
You don't know, like, who's putting what in there. You don't know what their kitchen looks like.
Yeah, it's impossible to know. And some people are odd, you know? Some people are strange, and they show up with a casserole with tinfoil over it, and they're like, keep the tray, honey. Thanks.
Thank you.
Put this directly into the garbage.
Oh, my God.
We got a cactus from a fan once, and we took it on tour with us. Like, we had it in the van for months. And you know the band Goodbye June?
Oh, yes.
The singer Landon once had a bit of too much whiskey to drink, and he smashed his hand on the, like, at the cup holder where this cactus was.
Oh my.
And completely destroyed it. We thought it was dead. And then we finished out our however many months of touring, and then we came home and planted it. Now it's like flowering.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, we kept it alive.
That's freaking great. What a cool story.
Yeah. So Landon destroyed it and destroyed his hand.
I can imagine.
And then we replanted it. I'm staring at it now. My dog's looking at it too.
What other, like, weird, you know, we call them the Spinal Tapian moments, the times on the road where everything just goes horribly wrong. Can you think of any other moments you guys have had like that?
Oh, there must be. Let me think. Spinal Tapian moments.
Where you get like...
Man, I don't know if anything's happened recently. Oh, we left fuck, was it Joey or Anthony? Either our guitarist or our drummer, we left one of them in a gas station bathroom once and drove hours without realizing it.
Oh, God. That's
like driving to the next show, and we didn't know that he was missing, and sometimes you're out in the boonies and there's no reception, so he's trying to call. And, yeah.
Did you have to go, turn around and go back after how many hours?
Yeah, a couple hours.
Jeez.
But it was funny.
I mean, that's the example I was going to give. Is like, anybody ever get left behind on the road?
Yeah.
Everyone seems
Is that like a common story? Is that a boring common story? I'm sorry.
No, it's not a boring common story. It's always kind of funny to see how
you're fully judging me for my boring common story. I'm so sorry.
No way, man.
I don't get around enough. I don't talk to other bands. I didn't know that was a common thing. I thought it was like
it's
special.
It's not common, but it happens more than you think it would.
Right. Well, I mean, after it happened to us once, I see how easily it could happen.
All right. Well, the track is Ghost. The band is Bad Flower, and I've been talking with Josh Katz. Before we wrap up here, is there anything you'd like to say to your fans?
Please don't abandon us. Ever. Unless the music sucks, and then get out.
Well, with the rate you guys are moving, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I'm really loving the new track. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album, and I can't wait to see you guys coming through. And if you're coming through New York, I will absolutely be there.
Awesome. Sounds good.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.